Video game bang, video game bang, video game bang. Make a brand. Live from the sack, it's all the right, live, it's a fact. I'm putting rhymes on this track to put my guys on the map, cause they giving you the latest on everything on your playlist. This bet the safest, from basements to greatness. Updates, geek news, tech talk, and reviews. They can summarize it so you ain't gotta breeze through. Listen once and you're forever fans. And I'm not saying it because their theme song features Mega Ram. Might think you fly, but ain't nice as my guys. Got eyes on the prize. So like and subscribe. We back in the booth. I think that they gon' eat this up. The ultimate source of all geek media. Other podcasts, they just don't match up. Need proof? You can check the archives and catch up. Stats off the chain. We have rearranged the game. It'll never be the same. Now it's time to feel the bang.
Bang. What up, y'all? Y'all know what time it is. We back in the video game gang. Welcome to another episode of Video Game Bang, brought to you by our sponsors, us.
Yeah.
What's good? You looking at the sponsors right here. We got a new sponsor in a second. We'll see if he'll adopt us at the end of the show. We'll see. But let's start off with the people that you are already familiar with. Let's start off by saying what up to my man Corey Vincent.
Yo.
That's the two-time world champion. What's up, Mr. Vincent?
We're going for number three. Hey. It was the return of the Overwatch League. It's been like 90 days. I don't know. It's been since October. So you do the math of no esports for me to be super invested in. And today, the San Francisco Shock made their triumphant return against the LA Gladiators, who had our former support player Moth on it, and we smited them to the ground. It was a phenomenal 3-1 finish, destroyed them, and you know, it feels good to be back on top of the world.
Man, you got the hardware to prove it. Y'all trying to three-peat this year? What's good? What's happening?
We're pulling out the three-peat. Yeah, no, this is how bad it was. I mean, everyone was saying that this is the number two team in NA, and we at one point took our superstar support player does healing, so you would think we put him on DPS and let him run wild, so he just ran through everybody on a DPS character. So it was incredible. It's what you expect when you see the Shock play. You never know who's coming off the bench, what position they're playing, what's going to happen, but you always know there's going to be death and destruction, and that's what we did, and I'm super stoked. Now we have another lamb to slaughter on Sunday when we play against the Houston Outlaws. So if you're watching this on Monday, we will have already smited that team to the ground, so you missed it, sorry, but you could watch them on YouTube Gaming /SF Shock. We have our own co-streams hosted by Emong, and he crushed it, he did a great job with our co-stream. So yeah, I'm just happy to be back in esports land, where I belong.
I'm going to talk about how happy I am to be back in esports land, but everybody get your rubber boots on. Don't find yourself shocked by the end of this Overwatch season. Obviously the SF Shock coming to cause some serious problems and take home some hardware, you know what I'm saying? But speaking of hardware, hey, Lex, what's going on? I heard you was out there giving suplexes, you know what I'm saying? Russian uppercuts, you know what I'm saying? Legs.
Whoa, you went with the Russian uppercuts.
Nine.
Wow.
What's happening, Lex?
Yeah, so if you guys didn't see all over social media, because, you know, your girl put it out there. this weekend, or this past weekend, was WrestleMania, and we premiered our first teaser trailer of our WWE 2K22. It's coming, baby. It's back. Yeah.
You know what, Lexi? We got to work on stuff, because I respect you. Really stick to your NDAs, like, way too much. You could have, in a private chat, just said, hey guys, it's 2K22. I know 2K22 is coming, and next year you're gonna announce 2K23 at some point. Like, I was thinking, like, you had me all giddy and excited, and then I was like, oh well, of course, yeah, it's that 2K22 comes out. Yeah, but it looked really, really good, and the last one had a lot of bad coverage because it had bugs and stuff, and this one, like, the whole thing is like, we're coming back, it's gonna be we're going to fix the problems. What can you say?
You hear that from me.
No. That's just the word on the streets. You don't say that's nothing. You didn't even tell me 2K22 was coming out.
So we were pretty excited about this launch. Like I said, it aired during WrestleMania both nights, which was a huge deal. And I almost had a heart attack the first night because I had to put out everything on social. But everybody has been very supportive. We love our community and our fans, and we want to thank you. So thank you for everybody who's been like tweeting at me, telling me different things here and there. Like, we appreciate it. I just want you to know that. And yeah, we'll see what's to come. That's all I can say.
I am.
And then right back to the NDA.
You're right back exactly. To typical.
But make sure to go to all our WWE Games accounts. Follow those because you'll see things first there. And also sign up for our email list at WWE Games, our website. So, yeah.
It's going to be John NDA. Cena. John Cena is going to be the main guy, right? Of course.
I mean, it has to be. Like, he obviously showed up. I would love to know
your speculations. Who do you guys think?
Is going to be on the cover?
I'm not going to say anything. Anything.
Do you know who's on the cover? You don't have to, obviously don't say, but do you know?
I do.
Oh, okay. That's a good question. Skip, you obviously know about Russian uppercuts and stuff, so you got to know who's the cover guy.
Or girl. I have no idea, man. Like, I'm honestly clueless. If it's not John Cena, Mr. You Can't See Me. Every time I lock someone down in the park, that's my emo. Hey, coach know about that.
Okay, but let's go.
See, Lex, we gotta get you in there one of these days so you can pop off, you know what I'm saying? Lock someone up, pop off on them. I honestly don't know. But like, you know, my idiot guess is John Cena only because we saw him revealed in the new Fast 27 trailer on there as Dom's brother. So spoilers if y'all ain't seen the new Fast trailer, sorry, but it's a trailer, so public information. Corey, who do you think? I'm or Sasha Banks. I don't know.
Sasha Banks. That's the one I'd get. I think it'll be Bobby Lashley. I'm sure it'll be Bobby Lashley. I'm trying to look at her face to see if there's any tells.
Interesting guesses. I'm not gonna say anything, but yeah.
Corey like scratch your nose if I'm not.
Wink once. Wink twice for
Exciting stuff though. Yeah. Good stuff. I know you put a lot of work into that, so I was glad you were able to finally sleep. So congrats. Thanks for being here and stuff. And I'm excited about this show. This is a good one.
Yeah, y'all already know I'm very excited. I wear my gear all the time. I'll be up here telling y'all what the records was when last season was going on, telling y'all who got traded, who's staying, who I hope we get. Blew my mind when we traded for people that we got, talking about, hey, there's going to be some players or maybe a coach. Y'all stay tuned. For all of y'all who stayed tuned, guess what? Today paid off.
Get your comeuppance.
We have a very special guest, my main man right above with the cap with a similar emblem to mine, coach of the NBA 2K Pro League team, Kingsguard, the Kings NBA team, official NBA 2K team, Coach DJ Layton. Coach, how are you tonight?
That's a hell of an intro, man. I'm trying to get like you guys. Everybody seems like everybody's killing it. I gotta go get a ring so I can be in this room with you guys right now. I need some hardware of my own, man.
Hey, Coach, we got a really big team and we need some really nice, you know what I'm saying? Really big rings.
Does 2K do the ring thing? Like if you win the 2K, does everybody on staff get a ring?
They do rings. They do rings. They're nice too. They're nice.
Oh, snap. Okay.
Yeah. They're real nice. I'll send you a picture. I had seen a glimpse of one. I was during the postseason, I was trying to learn some things. I went over to the Pacers gaming channel and Nate Call, who was on the New York Knicks the first year when they won, he showed off his ring and I was like, ooh.
Yeah, that's the one I saw too. I saw season one's rings and they were really nice. They're official. They look like the NBA joints.
Mm-hmm. I ain't slacking. So coach. Long time coming. We really want to say thank you for your time. I know you're a very busy man. Season about to start. You know, everybody's getting back in town. Everybody's got to. It's a real league. People got to go through protocols and all of that stuff. So first and foremost, we want to say thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, pleasure's all mine. So we're going to get straight into it, Coach. We got to dive straight into these questions. For y'all who don't know, and for y'all who have been around a long time, we had done a series of podcasts live from the California State Fair out in, here in Sacramento, California, over at the Cal State or Cal Expo. And they did do a esports day in their esports room. The Kings organization was gracious enough to allow the Kings Guard to come out and talk about what it's like to be a professional, you know, 2K player in a professional gaming league. And I had the pleasure of being the MC for that. And I was able to meet all the rest of the guys, talk to the guys. I'm sure we might even get into a little bit of the prehistory before that, because I had met some of the Kings organization, some of the players before that. But we got Coach here now, and this is the person that I've been speaking to, but I didn't get to interview. So Coach, now that you on the, I was going to say the hot seat, but now that you on the throne, let's take it back to the start of this whole thing, man. And the reason why you graced us with your presence in Sacramento, how long, you know, what got you playing 2K, and how long have you been playing NBA 2K?
Yeah, so the 2K thing, man, it's been since as long as I can remember, the first one that ever came out. I remember I was always outside on the streets playing basketball and doing sports and stuff, and I was always playing with these older kids, and I didn't have the Dreamcast system. I didn't have certain things, and they did. So I would, like, after we'd done playing ball or whatever, we'd go in the house, play 2K for hours. I was so competitive, like, growing up, so I always wanted to, like, compete and do things like that. And that was, like, the first game that kind of got my, like, competitive juices flowing from, like, a video game aspect outside of, like, you know, playing sports and stuff like that. So once that happened, man, it just took off. I fell in love with it instantly, and I've been grinding the game ever since. And, you know, who would have thought that I'm in a position to where I can do something professionally around that game and, you know, do something that I love to do. It's crazy, and it actually happened. Everything happened pretty quick once they announced the 2K league. So,
man, that's awesome. So it sounds like you have a history just in hoop itself. Is there a little, like, do you have any experience as far as, like, college level play, amateur league, pro league, anything like that? Drew League, any experience like that?
Yeah. So the quote everyone likes to say, "Ball is life" or whatever. That's literally me. It's been around my every day since as long as I can remember, man. I started playing probably like when I was like 4 years old, and you know, I've tried other sports, baseball, football, I did all that, but basketball was the one that just kind of stuck with me and kind of took off with. I played junior high school, college, 2 years of junior college in Wisconsin, and then once that was done, I kind of hung it up and I jumped straight into the coaching. I started doing summer camps, summer leagues. I worked with the Houston Rockets and did, like, basically ran their summer camps during the summer.
Dang.
It's literally been 24/7 basketball for me. And now, you know, transitioning from, you know, coaching high school and AAU and doing that to now coaching professional NBA 2K players, which is still centered around basketball. So, like, the same things that I apply to, like, my high school kids and junior high kids, I'm still doing it, just in a little bit different level, because video games, there's a slight difference on, like, how to do certain things, like, strategically and stuff. But, you know, the coaching message and all that stuff is pretty much the same. So, man, it's 24/7 basketball over here.
His life, you said it. Yeah. So quick question, because you are the king. Or you are a king, but you're the coach of the well, you know that. You got a card. That's what I say. We don't wear hats in Sacramento. We wear crowns. You know what I'm saying? Kings and queens.
Hey.
But you do work with the Kings organization. Obviously employed there. Do they let you go and get buckets on the floor sometimes? What's up with all that?
All right. So, man, it's been a crazy year because COVID and everything. And even this year, it's way stricter because they know kind of how to run things and how to. Last year, it was like, oh, what do? We don't know, like, what's going on. This year, protocols are set in place. We got to get tested, like, before, like, twice a day if we wanted to go into the arena, and, like, so many different things. But the first year we got here, we got on the court a few times. And I remember I was on, I think, Instagram, and I, like, made a quick little post saying, like, hoop dreams or something like that on the court, and I was shooting around and just doing stuff like that. Because, I mean, like, it was just surreal, man, being on an NBA court, just shooting around. I'm like, this is my place of work. Like, it took a minute to sink in. So, yeah, we get on the court every now and then, but obviously not lately, because the NBA season, we can't risk anything with them. We can't have a player walk in with COVID and then it hits an NBA player and now the whole NBA shut down, or, you know, like, anything can happen. So they're really strict on us this year. So
I got a question just to kind of about how the coach role works in the 2K League and with the Kingsguard. So from what Skip kind of explains to me, because I don't fully know the mechanics, but there's like a pretty aggressive schedule of like a draft every year. And so there's a lot of rotation of players, but does the team like say like, this is our coach? Do they have like a full choice of a bunch of people, or is it like a temporary thing? Like, you got drafted to them as their coach, or are you like there for the long haul?
I think it's similar to, it's pretty, I would say everything that we do in the 2K League is pretty similar to the NBA. As far as season one, the Kings, I wasn't there for season one. They hired a coach like halfway into the season. He was like an ex basketball player. Didn't really have much 2K experience though. And I think you can compare that to NBA. Like, they had a coach, they fired him. I don't know if they technically fired him, but, you know, they told him we don't want you anymore or whatever. And just so happened, I don't know what their plan was, to be honest, but I was cold emailing, cold calling every single team in the league because I knew I wanted to be involved. So I was reaching out to everybody, Twitter DMs, finding LinkedIns. I was just literally going crazy because I knew I had to be involved in this some way, somehow. So I sent my resume out to everybody. And then, you know, like a week later, I got an email back from the Kings and they were saying, oh, you know, we're in the market for a coach right now. We're talking to a few people, send your resume, do this. And, you know, I got on a couple of FaceTime calls and, you know, did some interviews. And 2 weeks later, after the first email, you know, I was locked in as the coach.
Damn.
So it was pretty lucky. You know, there's a little luck involved.
Always.
I think my desire and wanting just to be in the league so bad, it kind of played in my favor because I just went like over the top, kind of like an annoying girlfriend or something. I just always hit me up. Like, I go back to my old DMs of some of the other coaches that never hit me back.
And you're like, yeah, like I can see why. Right. I can see why they didn't reply. Yeah,
and now it takes so much out of me that I want to like hit them up and be like, look what you missed out on.
Yeah.
Because we've had some success since I've been in it. So I'm like, you know, but I was like, let me just be humble.
A lot of GM work too? Or is there like a GM that actually, or do you say, hey, listen, I need these players and XYZ? So are you like,
yeah, so we do have a GM who has a GM role. But I'll be honest, like, I mean, we work together.
Yeah.
I do a lot of the heavy lifting as far as scouting and making those draft day decisions. And, you know, me and him, we kind of go back and forth with trade talks. And he tells me if somebody hits him up about somebody, and he'll ask my opinion on it and this and that. So we have a good relationship on that. And then, you know, as far as like, you know, scheduling scrims and practices and doing all that stuff all day, you know, that's kind of my day to day when the season starts rolling up.
GMs have like one of the hardest jobs, and a great GM can, especially in esports, when a lot of players are young and like cocky. It really, like, you need a system and you need an adult in the room who's like, can draw that line of being the friend and the person who gets shit done. Like our GM for the Shock, Chris, like when they travel, they can't wear slippers. I don't know why. Like, he just, that's his thing, and they respect it, and they don't wear slippers on, you know, traveling. And there's like little rules that make them feel like they're part of a system. And if you're not, they won't draft a guy who's really good if he doesn't fit the system, if he's got too big of an ego and stuff. So a good GM.
Yeah, we learned that season two. We were in a weird place though, season two. We kind of lost all of our players. One of our best players we brought back, he got suspended for the season. So we were like, shit, what do we do? We had to kind of draft for talent instead of trying to find a perfect balance of talent and system fit. It ended up not working out in our favor. Well, it kind of worked out in our favor because we traded him for like an amazing package. But in the moment, in this during the season, we took a hit and we kind of missed on it because we needed to get a huge talent instead of like somebody that we know is going to be like showing up on time and mature and all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, there you go.
But we kind of learned from that, and now this year, I mean, we got a great group of guys, all guys that are locked in and know what they expect. And we have a lot of guys that know who I am now too, so they know like I'm a player's coach. Like I'm gonna be cool with you. We can hang out outside as well. Like, but there's a respect factor too. So like when it's time to go and we're time to lock in, they all know like I'm not playing around. I feel like it's a good balance, you know?
Yeah.
I have a question for you. So I guess for those who like want to join or, you know, just getting started, what advice do you have for them, I guess?
That's tough. But I will say this, literally anybody can make the league. You don't have to have connections. It helps obviously, but, anybody can make the league. The process of doing that though is you got to play the game 24/7. You got to be heavily involved in the community. You got to be on Twitter, trying to get your name out there as much as possible. Cause there's a lot of people who made the draft pool to get drafted, but didn't get drafted because nobody knew who they were. There was like over 300 people in this draft pool with only 60 something spots. So just think about those numbers. Like those odds are really low. So if you're not putting your name out there and you're not being active in the community and Twitter and talking to coaches, DMing coaches, doing stuff like that, it's going to be really hard for you to make the league. But, you know, there is stories of this year, last year, the year before, of people who weren't really well known, but just grinded and then their skill kind of showed that you don't have to have like a big name or like connections and it could still work out for you. But I will say it's more rare on that side. But, you know, if you grind like crazy, people will see it. The real people who know what they're doing, they'll see that the talent's there, you know.
Absolutely. You know, speaking of that, like getting inside of the league and then once you're inside of the league, you know, doing a good job, making those connections, building those relationships. I've seen some interesting things happen in the 2K league. I've seen like players go to GM, coaches, you know, become players and all of that stuff. Like, have you ever thought about, obviously you got in, you were coaching. Have you ever thought about, you know, or initially before you got in, did you think about being a player within the league?
Season one, when they first announced the league, I was heavy, like, in the competitive scene playing. My team made, there was only, like, 10 teams who made it. It was called Road to the All-Star Game. It was 2K17. The prize was $250,000.
Damn.
And, like, a trip to the All-Star Game to play in front of, like, Paul George and Kevin Durant and all these guys. And my team made, like, we were one of the 10 teams to make that final tournament. We qualified for it. We ended up losing to the team that made the finals in the first round. But, like, as you can see, like, I was heavy. Like, I was trying to make it as a player. So when that season one combine came around, like, the draft process, I attempted. I thought I did decent, and I didn't have the huge numbers as the guys who got drafted. I still play the game. Like, I'm still compete against the guys I coach in the offseason. Like, I play the game with friends and, like, you know, have fun with it more now instead of, like, being so competitive about it. But, yeah, season one, I tried to get in as a player. It didn't work out. And that's when I got into coaching in real basketball. So I was like, I want to be involved in this. I'm obviously not going to make it as a player. It's too much talent out there. I don't really have the energy, like, to do that as a player. But I'm in coaching now, so let me see how I can kind of combine both worlds. And that's when I just started going crazy, just emailing everybody and trying to, you know, hit everybody up. So
That's what's up. So you had talked about kind of how the roster can change, how things can switch around. I know who's on there, but you know, what does our current roster for this year look like? Who do we have on the team this year?
Okay, so returning basically from last year, for anybody who was kind of tuned in, we have Crush, who's our lockdown, looked at as the best defensive player in the league. We have Yusuf Scarbs, who is looked at as one of the best defensive players in the league. Returning, we have Seam, who is looked at as a top five, top 10 sharp. We have in the draft, we brought in a guy named Majestic and Carey, who both kind of play like a power forward center. So we have versatility. Because last year we had shots, and him and Yusuf had a great combination of like a 4-5 balance. So we wanted to make sure we could still have that going into this year. So we got two guys who can kind of play both positions. So now we're still good on that versatility. And then the biggest trade of the offseason, man, we got the season 2 MVP. Mama, I'm that man. What a gamer tag that is, by the way. what a cocky guy. Cocky guy, but also backs that up, man. He backs it up every game, averaging 30-plus a game, season 2 MVP. So we got that point guard that we've been needing the last, you know, the last 2 years. Since I've been here, we've had rookie point guards every year. We've drafted a rookie point guard. This year, we have a guy who's been in 4 years. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to win. So there's really, you know, if we don't win, it's on me. I take 100% of the blame. If we can't perform, you know, it's on me that I couldn't get the job done, because everything is in place for us to get the job done this year. So,
absolutely. Corey, did you have?
Oh, I was just gonna say, when that trade went through, Skip just blew us up. Like, he was very very excited about that trade. I knew that whoever you got must have been totally legit. My question was, I remember, you know, I've been in esports, you know, for a while now, and I've seen the economics of it. And when I first saw the season that kicked off, where they were flying everybody to New York, like on a weekly basis, like, I was like, that must be very fun to be a player or coach in that environment, to get to do that and go hang out with EE in New York. But then on the flip side of that, that's got to be exhausting. And then with COVID, kind of came back through, rolled around, put everything to a halt, everything went online. I don't know what the status of the season is, but just from your perspective, was it necessarily worth traveling? Do you want them and the players want to go back to that constantly traveling back and forth thing? Or is online play kind of better for your guys' mental health and, you know, stress?
Yeah, so it's a, trying to think of the best way to describe it. It's like a love-hate, like, kind of thing. There's benefits and there's negatives to staying at home and also traveling. So season 2, it was definitely draining. You know, we would get to the airport, Sacramento airport, around like 11-12, right? And we wouldn't touch down in New York till like midnight. We wouldn't get to our hotel around midnight. And, you know, we got our community, maybe this is all gamers, I don't know, but definitely 2K gamers, their sleep schedule is the worst I've ever seen in my life. So they don't go to sleep till like 3, 4, 5 a.m. anyways. They're up playing the game and parties and doing stuff like that. So we're not even landing until midnight. We play like maybe 5 o'clock the next day. So they have like all day to sleep, but they're up to like 7 a.m. Like, sun's coming out in New York, and like, and we have like the time change, so we're like 3 hours ahead, but it's behind, but our, you know, our body's behind. So doing that was definitely a negative to our team. Like, teams that could take a 30-minute flight or a train ride, there's a lot of teams taking train rides, like Philly and like Boston, like teams that were close that could just get there quick. They definitely had the upper hand on that. But staying home last year, the positive was obviously we don't have to travel. We're relaxed. We could just walk to the arena, take an Uber to the arena. We have our normal routine. We can just, you know, wake up, make some food in our own apartment. Like, you know, we don't have to worry about doing all that extra stuff. But the negative also was like, we just felt really like stuck and too comfortable almost. Like, when we got to a game, it felt like practice, because we're playing where we practice. And we had to create our own energy. There's no fans. There's no yelling. I couldn't even be in the room coaching during the games. I had to be outside and communicate via Discord. So I was like in a whole different room because COVID protocols. So like that part hurt us as well. So like if I had to choose, I would definitely just, I would pick the traveling, just because you get to experience life, you get to you get to do things, and you get to play in front of a live audience. This year, you know, don't quote me on this, but it's hoping to be, if everything kind of is going the way it's going, the season, the regular season is going to be based, and then some tournaments and stuff maybe in person if everything works out. So hopefully if we can get a little bit of both, man, that'd be the best of both worlds, because we can stay home and then still have some travel. That'd be awesome.
That seems like it would be the thing that makes the most sense. I mean, I know NBA teams are backing all these guys, so they have the money to throw at it, but like, I couldn't imagine having to fly how many players and coaches per team every single week to New York, the body.
Yeah, I don't want to know what that budget looks like.
It's got to be nuts. You know, I'm sure they're like, yeah, this is the way to go. And, you know, you still get the lands. I think that's what Overwatch League has planned too. They just announced like 3 China events where they are going to, you know, have lands, and they're going to do a APAC versus NA like in Hawaii or something, like 3 times a year, which still gives you the hype and stuff and gets you out there and doing that stuff. But
I saw Call of Duty announce it as well.
Yeah, both from Blizzard, so they're kind of lockstep.
Yeah, and that's definitely, like, as I felt the momentum and the adjustments of the new team and the new players that we did have in there. That was like the one thing I was missing. Corey mentioned EE. I'm very familiar with EE because I used to be a competitive Smash Brothers player, and that's the scene that he comes from. So when I saw EE in the 2K League, I was like, okay, I'm new to this 2K League thing, but this makes it feel like home a little bit.
Yeah, that dude's great, man.
Oh yeah, man. EE is that's the guy. And then the other thing, like you said, not only the fans, but then how the players were able to interact. Like, how many memorable moments did we have, you know, with guys, you know, stepping up and, you know, and Cass is talking back and everything. Yeah. And, you know, Yusef, I'm going to calm you down, boy.
This year, you know, that's another thing. This year, we have 5 starters who are made for the stage. Like, they are stage presence players. Like, their game will go from here to here on the stage. So it takes away, like Yusef, for example, like, he's an amazing personality on stage. We didn't get that same Yusef in our practice room without fans and stuff. We had moments of it, but it wasn't consistent. I told him all the time, I said, listen, fellas, like, we got to create our own energy. Like, if your boy makes a play, if your teammate makes a play, we got to stand up. We got to yell at each other. Like, we got to do something to keep that energy going when we're on runs and doing things successfully. So, you know, it's tough. It was definitely tough and challenging. But I think this year we're ready for whatever they give us, traveling or staying home. I think we're kind of built for whatever they throw at us this year.
Yeah, like, you know, I had called into the offices and I was like, hey, yo, bring me in. I could bring some energy. You know, your seventh man is here. And then I coughed when I called and they were like, you know, Skip, you're going to have to stay home. I was like, I got the bubble suit. We can make it happen. They're like, Skip, protocols. You know what I'm saying? We're going to keep you at home. And then when everything clears up, we're going to bring you in. So I got benched, but it's cool. Yeah. All right. So speaking of the guys on the team, like you said, we got a lot of guys that are literally built for stage and whatnot. Let's talk about some of the personalities on the team. So who is the funniest guy on the? I think I know the answer. He has a certain name, because when I was telling Corey was like, you got who? I was like, we got my mom, that man. He said, why are you happy that your mama is playing basketball? I said, don't worry about that, bro. So who would you say is the funniest person on the team?
All right, so he's definitely funny, but the funniest guy on the team is Yusef, because he doesn't try to be funny. That's the thing. Like, Mama tries, like, he sometimes much to where it's like, all right, shut up, bro. But Yusef is literally, he'll walk out of his room and just say, like, what's up? But he has like an accent and he's just funny. And like, maybe he's wearing like some funny clothes or something. Like, he's just naturally funny. We crack jokes on him. We were just, all right, so we were just playing some pool. There's like a little, in the apartment, there's like a community room, right? And there's a pool table. him and Crush were playing for push-ups. Loser had to do like 20 push-ups or something. I was taking a video of him because this guy couldn't even get like five going. He was like crying and stuff. So this guy, he's comedy, man. This guy is hilarious.
And Crush looked like he could do a triathlon right now. Little guy.
He's knocking 20 out with one hand, man.
that's so funny because I didn't know how well Crush and Mama knew each other, and then I started to see some of their interactions and everything. I think as soon as the trade happened, Mama went live on Periscope and he was talking about it, and then him and Crush was going back and forth, and I'm like, I didn't know these dudes knew each other. So yeah,
they built a kind of like a friendship, like in the off season, playing together and doing some things like that. So they knew each other pretty well.
Oh man, all I want to say, Coach, if there's any way, this is for your boy Skip. This is for your seventh man. If there's any way we can get a Mama, I'm That Man and Crushy mini reality TV show during the season, I promise, Coach, it'll pop. You'll get all the views. Won't nobody look at no other teams.
I know. Hey, I believe it because when he gets on those Periscopes, I think Periscope is like off of Twitter now, so I don't know how he's gonna do it. I told him to bring it to Twitch. He could easily get 200-300 viewers just doing him, just having his, just talking and just, you know, being himself. So he was pulling like 300-400 on Periscope some nights, literally just talking about like the 2K league. So, that's pretty impressive how just one dude can do that, you know?
If we get those two and Bear in a single stream together, I think it'll break the league. I think the league will have to shut down, or it might become more entertaining than the NBA. That's all I know. Okay, so apparently Yusuf, and I could totally see it because he's got that reserved kind of manner. Yeah, he's funny without being funny, but who is the most serious person besides you on the team?
During the game, like during the game atmosphere, or just like life?
Let's say during the game, because I got a guess of who might be the most serious player when they're not playing. And if you allow me to guess, I'll guess. But let's say during the game.
During the game, I think it's Crush. I think he's got the most intensity. He makes his voice be heard. You could say that. he'll get on you if you're messing up. He'll get on you if you're, you know, doing well. Like the same energy he gives you if you're messing up is the same energy, same praises he'll give you when you do something well. And he's locked in. Like game day, he's locked in. No funny business, no joking around. Like he's got his hoodie on. He's locked in, ready to go. But I think outside of that, though, Seam is like the most like kind of, yeah, he's like chill and like, not, I wouldn't even say serious, but he just has a real chill demeanor. And he's the only one on our team that's kind of like that. So I think he brings like that calmness almost to the team where he doesn't get too high or too low. He just kind of level. And, we need somebody like that. Because I'm not going to lie, I'm a little, my energy can be really high. I can get down sometimes. Like I got to find that even balance too. But Seam does a hell of a job of kind of staying even keel throughout a whole game and even like just everyday life. So
Seam, a cold blooded killer, man. I love Seam. He's quiet. We'll say like three words maybe the whole day. But man, like you put the ball in his hands, Seam is a bucket, bro. Like he's an automatic bucket. So I love it. All right, so now let's roll over to a little bit of like the game side of things. We're talking about the players. We started with you. We know a little bit more about your history. So the game itself, and I'm gonna take it to a little bit of a personal side. Some patches had came out. Is them Zins really gone, Coach? Are the Zins really gone? Is it safe to come back to 21? I've been on 20, Coach. Is it safe to come back to 21?
No comment.
Coach, see, hey, I like you. You already know.
They can't get too upset. It's not a good esport if the pros aren't bitching about the meta or something. Like every game you can go down the list and there's issues and problems. So that's gonna happen.
That's one thing I really want to learn about, like just how kind of other esports maneuver and if what's the comparison with the 2K League, because like my outside perspective without knowing much about Call of Duty, Overwatch, you know, all the all the other esports is that we're kind of like in our own territory in a sense, I guess, because, you know, you look at sports games and it's kind of like Madden is a lot of one-on-one stuff, and, you know, FIFA is a lot of fun stuff, and we have like a whole team, and like, you know, we're with a huge organization of the NBA that's kind of backing it. But that's funny, you said, like, you compared it. Like, our players complain about the game literally 24/7. They don't stop complaining about it.
Yeah.
So I was kind of curious to see, like, I wonder if that is that a thing in all esports.
Yeah, and then when there's nothing to complain about, you get bored. You're like, oh, the game's too good. Nothing's changed. It's the same old shit every time. You know, the players want to start playing Valorant, you know? So, like, it's like that. And the comparisons are pretty similar. Like, regular traditional esports, you know, your Team Liquids, your Team Cloud9s, all those, Dignitas, like, it's kind of the Wild West. There's no rules. They could be in 80 esports if they wanted to. They could invent their own game, create a team, and start playing. Then they started making these leagues. Overwatch League, you know, wasn't the first league by any means, but they're the ones who tied it to, like, cities. So San Francisco Shock, Vancouver Titans. And then Blizzard, being the parent company, brought that same thing to Call of Duty. But in between there and around the same time, NBA 2K did it. So they're pretty similar in the fact that they do Overwatch League operates like in a bubble. You know, me and Skip can't make a team and compete with them. Like, it's impossible. You have to pay a bunch of money in franchise fees to be a part of it, kind of like just like the NBA. Overwatch League pretty much ripped off the NBA. Then the NBA was like, oh, we got something here. And then they did it with 2K. So that's kind of it. I think, you know, the difference, you know, especially with sports games, is that the people who play them are usually a bit cooler than, you know, the others. So you got that. I would say Call of Duty League and 2K League, you know, are pretty similar. But I just think there's too many barriers that keep people from, you know, flocking more towards NBA. Like, the biggest thing for me is, like, I want to pick up and play with Skip. But if I don't grind a character and make my class just right, and then I did it wrong, I got to go build a new character and then grind it again. Otherwise, I got to pay so many, you know, LeBron coins so that I could get this move. And I get too lost in the sauce where I just want to play the game and be good. Like, in League, it's a free game. You know, you can go play it and become a pro, climb the ladder. You know, it's like, and it's more like traditional basketball. Like, you can get a ball, go to the park, and if you're the man, you'll be a pro. But in that game, I feel like there's too many barriers that keep players from, you know, maybe be going pro, because you have to grind the game and, you know, do too many things.
I agree. You have to invest in yourself in a little bit, because, like, it costs, like, man, BC, like, They tax, man. Like, it's like when you first get the game, it comes with like some coins or whatever. You can get your player to like a 70 with it or whatever. But then you got to put another like 50, 60, 70, 80, $100 in. Then you got to buy jump shots. You got to buy dribble animations. You got to buy so much stuff, man. And like all the extra stuff, like you want emotes, like Skip wants his guy to do this. That's $5 right there. You gotta pay. You know what I mean? So yeah, I agree with that. You know, I've never really thought about that. Like, that's probably keeping, like, I guess, like, an average consumer away, because he can't just like I play Call of Duty because I can just get on Warzone and just play.
Yeah.
Like, I can even grind the gun, like, get it, you know, to max level within the game. Like, I'm at a disadvantage for a little bit when it's like a level 15 gun, but once I get it to like a 40, I'm good, you know?
Yeah.
You can't really do that in 2K. Like, it takes, like, Call of Duty, it'll take me a couple of days, right? 2K, it'll take you literally weeks and months to get your player to a competitive standpoint without putting like money in, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what, I mean, if it's holding me back, I know it's probably holding a lot of people back. I just want to play. Like, is there even game modes to where everybody's just kind of like 99 spec or something, where everybody could just get in there and have fun?
There's somebody made like a custom, but I don't know exactly how you do it, but yeah, you can't play anything just going in and play besides like quick match, you know, where you play with the NBA team.
Yeah. In Overwatch, like, I'm okay. I'm pretty good. And I could at least go to Quick Play with my friends who aren't that good, and we can get bodied or whatever, you know, and we at least we can play together and have a decent time. And you know, you're limited by your skill. When I was playing with Skip for like a solid month, I was just getting frustrated because my character was, you know, a little weak dude, and I'm just getting just smacked. And yeah, my skill had something to do with it because I wasn't great at the game, but like it was mainly I was just playing with a potato. Like my dude was a legit potato, and these guys have characters that are just better than mine.
I got to interrupt real quick. Corey wanted to make a point guard. We was like, Corey, make a stretch four and then stay in the corner.
Yeah, it's like, okay, I guess I just don't have fun. I'll just do, you know, this. It was nice, you know, a little bit, but I just want to – I think there's just some fundamental issues with the, getting people to the competitive.
Hey, we can't say too much about 2K, though. We got –
Lexi over here.
Don't tell her.
Lexi. Hey, coach, check your account. It might be banned.
I know.
I was just looking.
but on that note, not on the, you know, we have someone here who, like, you know, I've played the game. Corey played the game. We have, you know, experiences and valuable feedback that we think we can. And I've given some, you know, through the proper channels and whatnot. But not even on like a, you know, like a complaint side, purely just on someone who's been in the league. I've seen, you know, I've seen the game from the league standpoint add things, you know, having your sixth man, you know, like on a chair on the side, different ways to be able to call timeouts and stuff like that. You know, from an insider perspective, you know, like what, and actually I'll let Lex take this one. From an insider perspective, what is some experience and some feedback you could share with us? Lex, take it away.
Yeah, I would love to know, like, your top three things like you would love to add to the game if ever in the future, and then maybe your top three things that improvement, just to get like a sense of it. Like, I'm not necessarily on the NBA side, but I mean, your voice does matter, and like that doesn't mean to say like I can email somebody and at least like give them ideas from like a coach perspective, and also, you know, just having all the thoughts of your team's perspective so intertwined. So like, yeah, it would be nice to hear from you, like,
yeah, well, it's funny, Skip, that you said about the player on the bench, like how they added it. There's a reason behind that. I don't know if you know this, but last year, if it wasn't for COVID, you know, and we would have been on our normal travel and all of that, we actually were going to be given a chance to sub player in mid-game, like at halftime or like a quarter break. So let's say Yusuf was just shit in the bed, right? Missing all his shots, you know, missing layups, whatever. If our sixth man played his position, you know, at halftime, we could be like, hey, man, like, you just, you know, it's just not your day today. You know, you're good. Cheer the team on. Let's get some energy going, but we're going to give him a shot. That's like a dream for me. Like, I was like, okay, I can really like get in my coaching bag a little bit now and like do some things that maybe some other coaches that don't have like a real true coaching experience. Because I don't think there's a lot of guys in the 2K league that actually have like true basketball coaching. I'm not saying they're not knowledgeable, but I'm saying like actually have a true basketball experience besides a few that I know. So that's one thing I would love to add, and we almost had it so close. But yeah, like mid-game substitutions and stuff like that. But honestly, you know, me as a coach, I'm fine with how the game is. Like, I tell my players, I'm like, listen, you got to play the game that's in front of you. Like, whoever can adjust first is going to, like, you're a pro. Like, adjust to it. Because there's patches. They patch stuff mid-season. They do things mid-season, and whoever the first team is, first player to adjust to it the quickest is going to have the biggest advantage. So whenever that adjustment is, we'll be like, okay, so they changed this to this. Let's practice this for three days straight. We're just going to do nothing but work on this, blah, blah, blah. And we'll adjust. So I don't know. I think that question, I can't really think of anything just top of my head, honestly. I'm trying to go back.
I guess fixes, like, is there anything on that perspective, like, would you like to know more sooner, or like, is there a certain way you would like them to convey the information, like via social versus email, or, you know, things like that?
Yeah.
Probably get in the grains, but.
Yeah, like, we have, it's kind of hard because I don't want to, like, I'm not saying anything bad, but, like, I'll say, I don't mind, but, like, our 2K League contact, right? I feel like our league in general, we're late to the game. Like, we get info and information, and I don't know if it's the league or if it's 2K that's delayed certain things to the league, and then the league delivers it to the managers and staff and stuff like that. I don't know where the communication error is, but, like, we get hit, or, like, we have so many questions about the game, and we send it to our league people, right? Because we don't have 2K contact. So we'll send it to our league people, and it sometimes we won't get answers back, or sometimes they have no idea, or, like, stuff like that. So I would say a lot of the coaches and players, we're, like, really just out of the loop on, like, what's kind of happening with the game, in a sense. But this year, I think they took a step in the right direction. The players were able to test the game mode that we're going to get, because we're getting – you guys saw the Sony announcement, probably, that we were playing on PS5 this year instead of PC.
Yeah.
So with that, like, with that being said, it's a whole new kind of build than what we're used to. The players were actually able to kind of test the my player builds on what we're going to use. So they were really, they had a lot of feedback being put into the game and the players and stuff like that. So, you know, we're supposed to technically get it on the 20th, the actual league build download, so we can start practices and stuff. I'm just praying that it looks good and, you know, the players are 2K to the feedback from the managers and the players this year. Because I know in the past that was one thing that they even flew players out to LA to test it in person, and all the players were like, they literally didn't listen to anything we said. So
having that communication.
I'm glad that happens to you guys too. That's awesome.
Yeah,
we're more similar than we're different. You know, because they're in a tough spot though, because you have the devs who are very different than the people who run like the esports and leagues and promotions and marketing and stuff. So it's usually two different heads to the dragon, and one wants to make the best game for everybody with no bugs and stuff, and then you have this one top 1% that happen to be some of the most important because they put on the show matches and they're in the league and stuff. And what they need patched is different usually than what, you know, everybody else does. And then there's exploits that don't matter unless you hit this certain level of the game, and then it becomes unplayable. But then if you fix it, then it's no fun for the normies. So there's like this balancing act that they have to do. How much do you give for your, you know, top percent compared to the other millions of people who play the game? I know in Overwatch what they did, and it was not the correct answer, was season one, the players were playing on a patch that was always like 3 months older because it was 3 months more play tested. They would throw out, you know, new stuff for people to play on, and then there would be wild changes to characters that we would be breaking, obviously, on server, and that Overwatch League would have broke, but they were trying to protect the integrity of the professional level matches by not introducing changes. And, you know, because that's what people say they want. They're like, yeah, well, if we knew about it and you give us time, let us play on this consistent patch. But then the fans weren't interested anymore because it's a whole different game. Like, it's what the people were doing on stream are not what they're able to do anymore. So there was like this giant disconnect. So they ended up just saying, all right, whatever's live you guys play on, more, which is more traditional, what you see in like League of Legends or Fortnite or I think 2K too. And you guys, because you guys are on live patch, right?
With the 2K League, it is live patch, but like the 2K League, we get a separate build. This year I'm really curious to see how it's gonna look because they're supposed to be making it with PS5. It's gonna be a separate download and all that, obviously, but they're supposed to be making the game pretty similar to what the user at home is playing, because they feel like there's been a disconnect as like the average viewer is like looking at the game, like, why are they playing this? We aren't allowed to play that. Why not? Like, why can't we play that version of the game?
Yeah.
So this year, rumored, we'll see when we get it, but like it's supposed to be pretty, like, you know, like the level of difficulty is supposed to be the same. Certain like animations and like little things like that that were different completely are supposed to be the same this year. Obviously, we're not going to have like 99s maxed out dunking from 3-point line like some people can make it, but it'll be like a 95 and like some badges you won't have access to, but everything else will be like pretty similar. So I'm pretty excited to see like if that does anything for the growth and like the viewership and stuff like that. So,
and I wanted to point that out for people that do play 2K and that are listening to this, the millions of people around the world that are listening to this that play 2K. It is true, in the 2K league, traditionally before in the past, everybody would be at the same level and there'd be predetermined builds or predetermined player types. So you'd have so many, I think last season, Coach, was it five or did they increase it past five? Five different choices for each position on the floor.
Yeah, I think it was five. I think this year is only going to be like three, something like that.
Okay, so they'll pare it back down. And then also for people that are familiar with playing 2K, especially, well, even if you play Pro-Ram or Rec, but especially playing the park and stuff, how we're able to go get boosts for our different attributes in the game. They don't play with boosts. They don't play with Gatorade. So it, yeah, they're like, you already have to be so good to get into the league. But then once you get into the league, some of those extra little things that you'd be able to utilize in order to, you know, play that much better and have that much more of an advantage, it completely levels it because no one's playing with it. So it makes it even that much more difficult to green your shots, have those perfect releases and all of that stuff and really compete. So these guys and these gals that are playing the game that are pros, they really are the cream of the crop and some of the top players, the top players in the world. So I wanted to point that out. Now, Coach, we asked you a lot of questions. We grilled you, flipped you on the other side, filleted the other side. You know what I'm saying? We cook it up, Coach, on here, but we want to give Coach opportunity to throw some questions at us. Is there any questions that you have for people that play the game, whether casually, pro-am, or just us as people who host a video game related show and have people come in and in the chat and ask questions? Any questions at all for us or your seventh man? Because, Coach, I'm ready. I mean, put me in the game, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, as soon as they open up California, we're locked in, man. I'm going to do something for you. I got you. General questions, I mean, I think one thing I was really actually going to ask, he kind of touched on, just about, like, in comparison to other games, like, you guys can't just hop on 2K and just have it, like, it's a process, and I know it because, like, I actually paid somebody to get on my account and grind it. I just couldn't sit there for hours to do it. I just couldn't. I didn't have the time. And it wasn't that fun anymore. Like, I'm a little bit older now. I'm 28. Like, and I was doing that when I was like 23, 22. I just, I don't want to sit there and play the computer. Like, I want to play online versus people. Like, so, I that's kind of one question I would ask, but I mean, other than that, not really, man.
So I'm curious to know, what level do you have to be to start playing against people? Because this seems like, I mean,
you, well, I think you can.
Like, you know how Street Fighter is? Like, how you have to grind, and then, like, you don't, like, just want to jump into
Lexi.
You want to learn all the moves. Like, how does that work? Like,
Lexi, I think you can just jump straight in and play against people. The thing is, if you do that, it'll be like, if it was a Street Fighter world, it'd be like me as myself fighting Ryu.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you would just I would get fucked up. Like, one Shoryuken, and I'd be like, what the fuck was that? You know? So, like,
that's a hell of a comparison. Like, honestly, that's a great comparison. Because, like, you can, I mean, you can get. You got to get to 99.
So that's what you were saying. It takes forever 95. To get there.
Yeah. It takes a minute.
So what would be the ideal world? Like, what would be the ideal rank to get to before people jump in, if you could make it? I'm just curious.
It kind of depends on your skill level, though. Because, like, if you're not the best, then you're going to need a 99 and all the badges and all the stuff that comes with it. If you're pretty good at the game already, you can get away with playing with like 85, 89, like 90s. You can do certain things like that if you know the game. But if you're like literally just, you play it very casually, and just want to get on and play a couple games with your friends, you're going to rage. Like, you're going to turn your console off. It's not fun. It's not fun at all. and, you know, you're not going to want to – and you probably won't turn 2K back on for another 2 months, and then it's a rinse and repeat.
I think what you'll they need
the
to do –
and you'll do the same thing.
I think that build that they give – the pros, where you kind of have pre, you know, like set architects or archetypes that are like all kind of level and balanced. There should be like a competitive mode where you could put any skin on it. You could have a beard or whatever, and you can play with these pre-built things at like a competitive level. And then if you really want to go into hardcore mode or something where you've built this character up to 99 and just bring that in, like, there should be an option for people who haven't dumped 100 hours into the game to at least try and have
and
fun.
And even like if we're really talking money, right? Because, you know, it's a business, and I'm sure they make great money on whatever it's called, the purchases, like the in-store purchases. Yeah. I know it has a certain name to it. At least let us buy a 99. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'll do that. I will 100. Like, I mean, these kids, right? These kids are spending $500 on Fortnite bucks, whatever the hell that's
V-Bucks,
called.
V-Bucks, yeah.
And, like, I will 100% put an extra 100 in to get all badges, all 99, all that. Like, take my money. Here you go. Let's go.
First day,
I'm maxed out. Oh, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like, to me, you want it to be kind of like League, where it's like, if you're bronze, this is your pool that you play with. But if you're platinum, this is the pool that you play in. You know what I mean? Like, it just depends on your level. But these are the people that you'll get to play with.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's tough. Just, I guess, me knowing the game, like, I'd rather just – that's why I said I paid somebody. So I practically did that. I just didn't give my money to 2K. I gave it to some random kid who wanted to play, wanted to, like, grind the build for me, right?
It's unique because I think if you play – Madden competitively, well, I think Madden's one-on-one anyways, but then you just play like as the Cowboys or something, right? So you kind of pick a team with strengths.
Even on that, their most popular like game mode that they kind of dig in esports with, you got people grinding for cards. I forget what it's called.
I didn't know that that's how the competitive works. So they do that card system where you have to like unlock a pack.
Yeah,
and
do you know what it's called? It's not my team. It's my team, but for Madden. What's it called for Madden?
Oh, I forgot.
It's on the tip of my tongue. I can't think of it. But, yeah, you grind the game for cards. Like, because I watch it on Twitch, and, like, there's a guy using the Niners, but he has, like, Barry Sanders as his running back and stuff. You know what I mean? So he has, like, different cards of, like, Jerry Rice and, like, all kinds of different players. So.
Yeah,
grind, man. You gotta grind.
Gotta grind. And no matter what you do, that's the answer. And you got a cold email.
Life.
Now you get those emails. How does that work for you when you get those phishing emails? Do you just throw them straight to spam, or do you reply? Now that you're up there, what happens?
You talking about me?
Yeah. Now that you are the coach, you're the captain now. So when you get those cold emails of people trying to make it, what happens?
I actually get them a decent amount from like players who are trying to like get into the league, or even guys that made the draft pool. They'll like send me all their like, you know, highlights and stuff like that. I always respond to people though. Can't say too much though, but I mean, I'll just say like thanks or you know some keep it short and sweet. But yeah, you do kind of get those now. I was like, dang, I was him once.
It's humbling. Takes you back. All right, last question from me, Coach. I pay as close attention to the league as I can. I feel like preseason, I kind of fell off a little bit. I tried to watch as much draft as I could and everything. Season, you know, I'm locked in. I've seen a lot of other coaches. I think personally, we easily got the coach with the most swag. But do like, you know, how usually like there's a players association or at least like league players have their own circles to mingle and all that stuff. Do the coaches in the NBA 2K league, do y'all, you know, like do any conference calls, come together different ways that y'all support each other? Not in like a way that crosses lines, but just, you know, coach to coach trying to be supportive, trying to get to know each other. Do y'all do any, obviously COVID, it makes it hard, but do y'all ever do any get togethers or anything like that?
I was able to develop relationships when we were traveling, though. like season two, I got to develop some good relationships because, you know, I'm new to the scene. I'm new to esports. Some of these guys have been, some of the guys on the team have came from other esports or, you know, has been involved with it in some aspect or even just been involved with the NBA. Right. And that's always been my ultimate goal, just to be a part of the NBA and, you know, find my way in some way, somehow. As a kid, I was like, oh, my goal is to make the NBA. That was as a player, though. I didn't think I'd make it as a 2K coach, right? Like, kind of crazy. But yeah, we were able to kind of develop relationships, and we get on league meetings. We don't really, I wouldn't really say we like get on like big Zoom calls and just like chop it up about life. We kind of do that more on a personal level, but we have like league meetings, Zoom calls where we're all kind of dishing ideas out to the league, and I think there's usually like a 2K guy in there as well, kind of listening and like taking some stuff down and just trying to hear us out. You know, obviously it doesn't usually go past that meeting, but they're willing to listen, so we feel better that they're at least hearing it.
I would say if you guys are anything like I've seen in other esports, it's like if you're on the other team, you just don't, you know, hang out with them too much. Like, it's different sometimes on the GM or coach level, but like at the end of the day, you guys both want the same thing, and it gets passionate, and you know, you can't be always breaking bread with the enemy.
Yeah, that's true for me, especially. Like, I kind of have that mentality. I think I'm a little bit more old school. My favorite player is Kobe growing up. I literally studied that man. Like, I watch every interview. Like, I try to talk like him. I try to like emulate him with everything I did.
Mamba mentality.
That's literally it. I'm old school with that. Like, the new school kind of thing is like everybody's friends with each other, and like you know, just like you would look at the NBA, the guys that are coming up, right? They're, you know, really outgoing, like really making friends with other people. I'm so not that. That's not my personality anyways. But yeah, my players, I mean, they're in like group chats with other team players. I'm like, yo, during the season, I don't want that. Like, the stuff I've seen from other players, they're leaking like lineups before the game. Like, they're doing stuff. I'm like, if I see any of that crap from you guys, I swear to God, I'm fighting all of you.
Yeah.
They talk so much. The 2K community, they talk a lot, man. So yeah, I would say it's more of a player side where they kind of are too friendly. Me and the coaches, we kind of stay in our lane a little bit. It's more older guys, so.
See, coach, that's why I need to come in, because I'm that dude, you know what I'm saying? I'll like send them like a dead animal, you know what I'm saying?
To the
locker room, you know what I'm saying? I'll email them pictures, you know what I'm saying, with their face printed out, with the eyeballs cut out.
You know what I'm saying? Coach? Blackmail, man.
Too far, too far. Skip, too far.
You got to beat them before you get on the court, just like they had you beat up here, you know what I'm saying? I need to be up in their head, rent-free, coach, you know what I'm saying? And then I get on the court. I'll put up a goose egg. I'm gonna play defense. I'm gonna try, but I got in their head. Coach is mine. I play mind games with Debo.
You know they for our team, you know, they're quite a bit removed from NBA, so I don't know. And especially half of them are Korean players, so they really don't know much about the NBA professional. But they, the coach, actually forced them to watch The Last Dance together. Like, the whole squad had to watch each episode, and now they're all huge, obsessed with Michael Jordan, and it was about awesome. Chasing three-peats, and they're on their goal for the three-peat, and we even, for our announcement that Super, because Super, who's like our biggest personality, is basically the face of the league, was contemplating retirement because he's got such a healthy stream. Like, why put yourself through, you know, the agony of another season of, you know, the rigorous schedules and everything, but after, you know, Last Dance, Jordan, Kobe mentality, like, he's truly just chasing greatness this season at the almost Dang. The expense of his own personal brand. He's so motivated to win a third. So
that's awesome.
That's how it works.
That's how it should be.
That's the mentality. That's whether you're playing basketball, pool, esports, video games, like, the people who have that mentality are the ones who are going to thrive. So keep that mentality with them, coach. Keep them locked up. Don't let them wear slippers on the plane, man. Keep them in that coach.
I don't have the slippers on the plane rule. I can't. Hopefully that doesn't. Maybe I need to.
I would love to see the reactions from your players if you're like, no slippers, but these are Gucci.
Oh, they would. because like on my team we got guys that play basketball, so like that's just like a natural, like you wear slides like to the air, like socks and sandals, you know what I'm
saying?
Socks
and slides, like a style thing.
They would look at me like I was crazy. I'll take the fine.
Yeah, they probably will, just like MJ. I'll wear the 45. Fine.
Yep.
All right, Coach. Well, officially now at this point, I think we can all say that, you know, you've been our best interview. You've even passed.
I don't know. Mia Khalifa was pretty good. I think this is up there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Coach. We have Mia on the channel. But Mia can't green a shot. So, you know what I'm saying? Coach can green a shot. So, Coach, you officially the best interview at all. I got to apologize to lying for you. I lied for you. I said that was the last question. I got one more question. I think it's probably the best question to kind of end it all on. You grinded all this time. It takes actual basketball knowledge in order to, you know, when you have to take that and you have to put it into the NBA 2K League and you grind the game and all that stuff. And we run plays and all that in the NBA 2K League and all that. You sacrifice so much. You get on all these flights. You sacrifice sleep. You're hungry. You're tired. You're fighting through all of this. And then you get to the league. Now you're in the league. You're in the coach. You're a coach. You got us into the playoffs. We know that the goal is some hardware, a championship ring. I know at the end of this season, I'm going to be wearing the seventh man ring, diamond studded out, all that. But what has been either your proudest, funnest, our most fulfilling moment in the TK League?
That's a good question. But I think, honestly, something I take kind of pride in, and it's not all me. It's because it's a group effort. But being able to kind of come in to the team that was, you know, last on the leaderboard, you know, people talked about the team as, oh, nobody wanted to play here. Management doesn't care. They don't do this. They don't do that. They're just in it. You know, they had a mansion. They had Shaq, you know, but he was never around. Like, you know, it was just for show. They were on ESPN, this and that. They're just doing all this stuff. Coming in and kind of putting my stamp on it of like a change of a culture and like, you know, this is a destination place now. Like, we are looked at as, you know, one of the best teams. Obviously, we have yet to kind of perform in the playoffs, being losing the first round the last 2 years. You know, but being able to put ourselves in a position so quickly to where, you know, we were last to now we're looked at as one of the top, you know, teams in the league, and, you know, things are changing and a huge culture shift. You know, that's something I can look back on no matter what happens. Like, yeah, we did that, you know. Like that, I had something to do with that, you know. Hell so yeah. That's probably the main thing for me.
It's awesome. So what I'm hearing is you're going to take over as the coach of the Sacramento Kings. Got it.
Please.
Corey, it sound like you had one last thing, and then we're going to let Coach get out of here.
Hey, I love you, Luke, but yeah, I'll tell you. Like, come on, let's go.
Let's go, Coach.
I can multitask. I can multitask.
and then we can also have Fox, you know what I'm saying, when I'm not feeling well, take over the seventh man spot, because, you know, he got him and Halliburton. I saw them play together on stream. Hey,
Fox, my hometown, he lives 5 minutes from me, man, so we already got that connection.
See, there it is. And then all we need to do is when I retire from being a seventh man, I get into the front office, you know what I'm saying? And then we really make it happen. There's a roadmap to this. Rome wasn't built in a day. I'm in contact with some people. We all know what's going on. Coach, we really want to say just thank you. You spent more than the time that we even asked of you. You came on. You were so gracious with us. Thank you for coming in and changing the culture with my Monarchs not being here anymore. And, you know, with the state of where the Sacramento Kings are currently, it was at least nice for me to, like, look and say, I can wear my Kingsguard gear proudly every day. My guys turned it around from season one to season two and then season three. Like I said, I will give everybody a little story. And this is to encourage y'all not only just to, you know, play NBA 2K League, but I mean, NBA 2K the game, but watch the league. It's interesting. It's exciting. It's fun to see what these guys do. When basketball was down, it was so fun to be able to tune into the NBA 2K League and still be able to get my basketball fix. But this league is really interesting. It's really special. What the Kings do is really special. So I happened to find myself watching one of the NBA 2K League games one day. There's this thing came up and it was called I forget the exact name of it, but they had basically like a little contest thing. It's like, hey, we're gonna put a special word on the side of the court of the basketball court. You get the code word, you email in, and then you may win an Xbox. And it was like top of the line Xbox for that time. And I'm up here like, oh shoot, all right, you know, like I'm always like, I'm gonna give it a shot. You know, you miss, you know, 100% of the shots you never take. So I load up the website. I got it load up. I'm watching like a hawk. I'm like, I'm refreshing to make sure that my feed ain't lagging, and the word pops up. So I take the word. I got the website up. I already put my email and all the other stuff in. I'm, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to use the noodle. I put it in. I send the email off. I'm like, I probably didn't do it, but I was locked in, and I think I did it the best way anyway could. I got an email back like 30 minutes later. I thought I wasn't going to find it until the next day. It was a very nice lady. Won't say her name, but hit me and said, hey, congratulations, you've won the contest. I'm like looking at the from, like, nah, this is from a spam account. Someone intercepted my email.
Everybody wins.
Like, right? Everybody wins. And then and I was like, my heart started pounding. I'm like, oh, this is crazy. So I emailed back. I'm like, oh, y'all, thanks. This is crazy. Like, I was watching Team Whoop Whoop. And I started naming the players. And they're like, oh, you like, you really know.
Actual fan.
Right. I'm like, yeah, no, like I play the games and everything. And, you know, and my mom got season tickets at the arena. So I'd be at the arena. They're like, oh, you live in Sacramento? You want to come down to the arena and pick up your Xbox and meet some of the players? And
save us on shipping costs?
Use your own gas and I'm like, bam, say less. So I hit back. Oh, and like, so Skipper pushed the line a little bit. I pushed the line a little. I pushed my luck because I'm a lucky man. I said, can I get a PlayStation instead of an Xbox? The only person I know who got an Xbox is Emma Skies, and she ain't playing NBA 2K no matter how hard I try. So they were even cool. They were like, yeah. So I get down there, get to the arena, and I wasn't as familiar with this person, but Yusuf Scarbs was right there, tall as can be, smile that lights up a room, waiting for me. And I'm like, oh, yo, what's up? Woo, woo, woo. Now, my favorite player on the team was Worthing Colt. That's my guy, Worthing Colt. Shout out to Colt, back in the league, over on the Celtics. I mean, I'm locked in. There was two streams that I was on during the like heavy. I was on Coach's stream heavy, and I was on Colt's stream heavy. I subbed and everything. So I get down there. I meet them. They take me into the room. I get to see where the players are at. I got to saw the man, the table coach. That table was mean with the bat, with the wood, the NBA court.
Oh,
wood,
yeah, right? Yeah.
Dang, I was like, yo, this is nuts. You know what I mean? Showing me around. I get to meet some of that front office people, Jeremy and all these people. It was awesome. And then I'm in there. They didn't give me, I was like, I'm about to get a PS Slim, but I'm about to be in the game. They gave me a PlayStation 4 Pro maxed out with the 1 terabyte and everything. I'm like, kings, y'all ain't slouching. Took me around, like gave me a tour, took me around the whole arena. I had seen some of it because my friend like had really nice seats, but I didn't say nothing. She like took me on to the floor. I got to look up. Let me tell y'all, anybody who thinks it's easy to just make a free throw or go and shoot a shot down there, you look up at the seats and it's like people towering down looking at you. These pros, these guys are at the top level and they play with a lot of pressure. So don't think it's that easy, but it was just a magnificent experience. They found out who my favorite player was and was like, oh, okay, cool. Didn't even tell me. And then like a few minutes later said, Worthing Colt will be like, said he's down to come and meet you if you want to stay here for another 20 minutes.
Damn.
I'm like, I'm trying to stay here for the rest of my life. Are you kidding me? Yes.
That's some service like, right there, man.
Yo, came and like, and it was just such an amazing experience. And like, and I've been able to like, you know, build relationships with the players and all that stuff. And like I said, of course, like the following year, I got to, you know, be the MC and, you know, that both of them coach walks in and I think is it Jeremy coach? Is that who?
Last year? Or the year before? I think Jake.
My bad. I get Jake and Jeremy mixed up. Jake is another person who works for the Kings, but I met him through the, through like the tickets and everything, but I always get the J's mixed up. So Jake like was there. They see me. They're like, oh, it's you. They like hand me the bag of stuff to hang out to people. I'm like, this feels good from being a king of being a fan of my Kings to like come into the smaller thing that's just growing and budding. Right. But like to get locked in with that part for me as a fan of this team, as someone who I'm from Monterey, but came to Sacramento, and my team was the Warriors, and then I came to love the Kings and everything. I want to tell y'all that they really made me feel like I was part of it, and it made me feel like I was that much closer to the whole thing. So an amazing organization, a crazy story. I actually won that competition again, but the second time I won some VC. So that's how lucky Skip is. Wow. I won some free VC. I got like five bills, you know what I'm saying, all up to 90s plus. But it was just an awesome experience. So I just want to tell y'all, take a look at it. They do super cool things like that. And that's just one team doing one thing. There's plenty of teams out there that could be doing similar things. Check out the NBA 2K League. Tons of talented people. The announcers are second to none. I love Dirk. Actually wanted him on the team. He was up for the draft. Didn't make it. It's all good. But like so many people, Scott Cole, that guy is dripping with it. He's like, to me, I love Scott Cole and Mark Jones. Like, those are my guys that I watch for commentary. So check out the NBA 2K League. It's very fun. If you're interested in the game, always feel free to hit me up. I'll be happy to share, you know, my information and knowledge with you on how to, you know, get integrated in. And if y'all want to get smacked, you know, get dunked on and get locked down, definitely hit me up. I'll see you in the park. Let's go.
Yeah, make sure before you hit them up, make sure you max your players out.
Yeah.
99 first.
You're gonna need it. Anyway, everybody, thank you for joining us for another amazing, interesting episode of Video Game Bang. We will be back next week talking about Falcon and Winter Soldier, because it will be the last episode. Talking about other game news and all that good stuff. So for Lexi, for my main man, Mr. Two-time World Champ Corey Vincent, and for Coach DJ Layton of the soon-to-be NBA 2K League champions, the Kings guard.
Hell yeah.
Thanks again for joining.
Knock on wood.
We don't need it.